All right. Will you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8 with me? We will continue our quest into the great and wonderful truths of Romans 8. Stand with me when you find yourself at verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Thank you. Have a seat. Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is your time. And I just pray, God, that you would do something in a mighty way, Lord. Begin in my heart. And refresh and renew me in the greatness of the truth of your word. And Lord, then, by your grace and your mercy and the work of your Spirit, you would awaken in the rest of the believers in this room a passionate reminder of your greatness and your goodness and your faithfulness and your truthfulness and your worthiness and holiness and all that you are. And Lord, there are hellbound sinners in this room as well, Lord, and we ask that you would awaken in them eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that would receive the truth of the greatness of your Son, and that they would be rescued from the day when you will pour out your wrath on this earth, and then you will make them stand before your holy throne and receive judgment based on all the works that they have done. And since their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast out of your sight for an eternity of everlasting conscious torment in the lake of fire. But Lord, I just pray that today would be the day that they would be awakened to that. And God, that they would see that the rescue is in the perfect death of your Son in their place, and that they might receive the forgiveness offered through his sacrifice and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, guys, I'll tell you, man, it's such an interesting feeling today. It's interesting in several different ways. One of the things that makes it so interesting feeling today is a lot of times, and I would venture as far as to say most of the time when I have the privilege to stand and to preach, and any time I get to be in Romans 8, I am looking forward to it with eager anticipation. But there are days when doing this job that the Lord has called me to are significantly harder than others. This is one of those days. And, you know, let me just give you a little piece of what's in me, and I, you know, just take it for what it's worth for you. But, you know, guys, listen, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed last Sunday's worship time with you guys. And then Wednesday night, we just had a phenomenal, I'm telling you, we probably had two of the best worship services that we've had in a long time. But in the midst of all that, the enemy would not be quiet. And it's been a lot, guys. It's been a lot. Been a lot in my life, been a lot in the life of the church, and, you know, just little things. And I want to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely, guys. Hear me well. The enemy will take every single door crack advantage you'll give him. You hear me? Listen to me, church. Everything you'll crack the door for him to come in on, he'll come in on. In your personal life, how many of you know you've left the door open and there's a little crack in there? He's got some opportunities there. How many of you know in church life you've got that too? Let me tell you something, guys. Listen. I want you to look around this room and see all the imperfection that sits before you. There's a whole lot of imperfection sitting in this room. But I want to tell you something. The perfect Son of God died for the people in this room. And if you can't get over it for each other, hallelujah. Woo, man, we got problems bigger than you can imagine. Let's not do that. Instead, let's lay these things down. Let's shut these doors that are open, giving access to the enemy, And instead, let's move forward, guys. We can sit here and beat dead horses to death, and we can throw punches through walls, and we can do whatever y'all want to do. But if we want to do something worthwhile, it's going to take moving forward with Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And sometimes this job is harder for me because I don't know how to do certain things. I don't know how to say certain things. I don't know how to help certain people work through certain things. I don't even know how to do it in my own family with people that their entire opinion of the world has been shaped by me ever since the first time they cried. I don't even know how to do it for them. I don't know how in the world I'm supposed to know how to do it for you. And the reason is, it's because I'm not. But I am to give you the word. The reason why God gave us His Word, heard a wonderful message on it this morning. The reason God gave us His Word is we need this thing, guys. We need this Word. And the reason that I will not say it's just been too much this week, I'm not going to preach, is because of what I preach. I don't preach the opinion of Martin Pinnell. There is no first or second Martin in the book of the Bible. But while I'm on saying what's not in there, cleanliness is not next to godliness. I know, mamas, I know you want it to be. It is not in the Bible. It is not. It's been quoted as though it were. It is not. God helps those that help themselves. Also not in the Bible. Okay? All right. They're two of my least favorites, and I've got them out of the way. Also, the phrase, it is what it is, not in the Bible. Just wanted to point that out. Now, it's not my opinion. And so, The incredible grace and mercy of God to me is on days when I don't feel like I can, are the days when He reminds me I never can. And it is only the Word. If I give you anything other than the Word, I've wasted your time. If I give you the Word and you ignore it, you have wasted your time. You can't waste my time if I give the Word. You say, it's not about whether or not you'll receive, it's about whether or not I'll receive what He gives me. Yeah. And the only reason I share it is because I know it to be the truth, the Word of God. I want to tell you something. I was reminded of this morning too in that sermon I heard. I want to give you a careful piece of information. This thing does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Because if it just contained the Word of God, then there might be a spot here, might be a spot there, might be a spot there that was good. And I just used to love, they used to say this in seminary a lot. It's say, okay, well, so only spots are inspired. The hard part is, then you got to have somebody who's inspired to spot the spots that are inspired. And that gets real tricky, but fun to say. Romans 8, my friends, is inspired, just like the rest of this thing. Let me tell you some things really need to get your mind to back up in 16. I don't have it on the overhead for you. So if you have your Bible, look back up into verse 16. And let me tell you something here. You need to see something before we go in through 17. Is this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Now we spent the lion's share of our time last week talking about how we're children of God. And what a blessing and what a wonderful thing that is. But I want you to know, I don't want to shortchange you because that's not the only thing that the Spirit witnesses to us about, testifies to us about. There's more that He has to say. What else might He have to say? Now, the Spirit does this. He says, you're a child of God when He comes to dwell in you. And we spoke for about the last year and a half about how you become a child of God. You do not become a child of God by anything that you do on your own. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We bring nothing to God that would make Him say, yep, that's good enough. Instead, He sent the best. He sent His Son to this earth who died on the cross in our place, taking our punishment for our sin, and then made it possible that we could receive mercy instead of judgment. And that's good news. And now it says, for all who have come to believe that He died in your place and that He rose again the third day, that your sins have been forgiven and you have become a child of God. Amen. You got to have that. Now what happens is, in the Christian life, things are difficult. And there are times when, let's be honest, you and me hadn't felt like a son or daughter of the King. And what happens then is Satan's going to come as fast as he can, and he's going to say as much as he can to discourage you and keep you from doing anything in your service to your Lord and Savior and your King and your Father and your Daddy. And he's going to say, you're nothing, you're nobody, you're worthless. And here's what I want you to know. He's wrong. And God is so adamant that you would know that he is wrong, that he has placed his Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity, within every believer. And then that Spirit tells you things. He uses the word witnesses or testifies to things. Now, I want you to know something. When God is telling something, he's telling the truth. And when the Spirit of God, who speaks the truth, says to you, you are a child of God, then by golly, I don't care what anybody else says, you are a child of God. And there, let me tell you, I know I preached this last week, but it's so good, I don't want to skip ahead before I give you too much more. Let me tell you something, guys. Listen, there are going to be ample opportunities in your life where somebody's going to look at you, where the enemy is going to whisper in your heart that you are not a child of God, but no one gets to decide that but God. And if he has told you, then that's who you are.
That's right.
All right. But he has more to say. It's good to know that. But there's more to say. What more could he possibly say? And what more could we gain from it? Let me tell you, the next thing is, he tells us if we're children, then we are also heirs.
Hallelujah.
Now, it goes on and it gives two descriptions of this heir. This heir is an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, so let me tell you something. As an heir, you and I understand that in this earthly realm, that when you're an heir, you get an inheritance when somebody passes away. And so somebody that you know and that knows you, is that they're going to have some things, and when they pass away, they're going to pass those things on down to you. And that's what we think of as an heir. You're going to get that. But not only that, but in our culture and in our world, we also know that there's also the passing of a title and of a legacy as well. So, you know, you can be the 78th Earl of Sandwich, and you can have that title passed down to you when somebody passes away. Now, what on earth could he be talking about with this heir thing? And as I considered this week, I want to let you know something. I want to let you know something personal about your pastor. I was having such a bad week that all I could think all week was, what in the world does this heir thing have to do with anything? And then I got, you know, sometimes when I'm critical of my own studies, here's what I'll do. I'll start really tightening the screws on that thing. And so I began to ask this. Well, what good does it do me to be an heir of somebody who'll never die? God's not going to die. So how am I going to be an heir? And I want y'all are looking at me astonished. I'm so thankful that y'all don't know what it feels like to have these moments and these spiritual just dry heats. And where you're just like, man, I just don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you something. When you're in the Word sometimes, and when you're struggling, and when there's a lot going on, sometimes your sponge is a little dry, and it feels like it's in the microwave. You ever put a dry sponge in the microwave? Don't. Now, let me tell you. When I get like that, I'd love to be able to tell you it only lasts 30 minutes, and I'm usually clicked right back in. But I'd be a lie. And I want you to know that sometimes I'll get in there and I'll get to studying and I'll think about this thing and I'll really nitpick one little detail and I'll pull it out of context and I'll make it into something it's not. And I'm going to tell you, especially when we're coming off what a great, fantastic time in the Spirit we had last week, man, I start to feel like, Lord, I feel like the floor is falling out from underneath me. I feel like we went from a great drizzling rain to a dry desert. And it happened in 24 hours. And he said to me, well, you do live in North Carolina. And so I just want you to know, I want you to know that about me, because I want you to know that you're not unique in those struggles. You're not unique when your struggle gets in front of your ability to soak up what God's trying to give you. Listen to me. When the enemy says to you the next time you go through a battle and all of a sudden you just feel dry, and he says, you have got to be the most terrible person ever to feel like you feel. He said, no, I know the most terrible person. My pastor, he said it right in front of the church. He's got to be worse than me. And so what I want you to see here is this, guys. What are we heirs of? We're heirs of God. Let me tell you something. I have a wonderful earthly dad, but I have a heavenly father. And I have a heavenly father that adopted me. See, I'm not his son like Jesus is his son. I'm adopted in. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. He is uniquely the Son of God. But I'm an adopted son. Y'all can be more excited about that. Not just my excitement for me. But when I say that, you ought to think I'm an adopted son or daughter. And I belong to God. He is my father. He is my daddy. He is the one who cares about me. And I want you to know something. Now, instead of getting all twisted up and trying to figure out, well, how does this work with our earthly system? Let me tell you what this means, guys. Listen, my eternal future is forever sealed and taken care of because of who I am an heir of. Okay? I'm an heir of God. Now, if you're starting to wonder whether or not God can meet all of your needs, both now and all of eternity, I have no example for you other than save this. The entire earth, the entire universe, and all that exists was created by simply speaking it into existence. When he wanted to make something special, he took some extra time and grabbed a handful of mud and made a little Adam. Walked over to Adam and then literally said, and Adam started to move and animate. Moving around. God said, hey, Adam, I got a job for you. I want you to name these animals. He didn't go nary bit day of school. See, you guys just drop out of school. God will give you all the wisdom. I'm just kidding. So what happened there is God gets it. He says, name all these animals. And he shows him something. He says, Adam gets to the end of the day. He said, God, I got a question. They all came by, boy and girl. I found the boy. Where the girl? God said, man, take a nap. Be the last piece of quiet you ever quit. No, I'm just kidding. y'all thought that was funny, didn't you? All right, listen. He said, take a little nap. And he puts Adam down. He does a little surgery, and he reaches into that side. Boy, I tell you what, don't you ever get some imagery? When a side is pierced, you ever get any imagery in your mind? But he reaches into that side of Adam and he takes out a rib. And then he takes that rib and he forms the best looking thing any man's ever seen. He forms a woman.
Amen.
He says, then this, and I love this part. He brings him to Adam. Brings her to Adam. He says, I got you something. And Adam turns around and he goes, whoa! And God says, no woman. Anyway. Now, that's the end of the jokes for today, Eric. All right, now listen. That same God, created plants that for over 1,000 years would live on the earth, unnoticed by man, that would be able to heal diseases that were wiping out entire populations. He made them. Same God made a universe so wild, so expansive, so enormous, and so filled with these massive balls of energy we call stars. So filled with that scientists have no clue how big it is. They know how far they can see, but they know that just means that's as far as they've been able to see yet. And he said, it says this, the stars, he didn't just put them out there. He named them. And when he called them into being, he calls them out by name.
Yes.
Come out, sun. I think he probably has a better name for our star than sun. But anyway, and he calls it out and he places it there. And let me tell you, why do I tell you all that? Why do I bring all that up? Let me tell you this right now, guys. Christians, your entire eternity is under the directive care of a God that has resources like that. What could you possibly need that your heavenly Father could not give you? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the only thing that you're going to be without for all of eternity, when we get through this short trial of a life, the only thing you're going to be lacking for the rest of eternity is sin. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I can't wait. That's a couple of weeks away, though. All right. Now, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Church, you are the body of Christ. He's the head. That means God has taken you and I and joined us together in Christ, in our acceptance of Him as Savior and Lord. He has joined us together. Now, whatever the Father wishes to give to the Son, He grants to us as well to enjoy. You know, He told over in Psalms and then repeated over in Hebrews in different places, He talks about, He says, ask me anything you want, I'll give you everything to His Son. So if His Son has it and we're joint heirs together with His Son, what do you reckon we have access to? Now listen, I'm not the commander in chief, that's why I'm not the head. I'm like a mole somewhere on the back of the elbow on the body of Christ somewhere. But let me tell you something, the head is Christ. And when I'm joined together with Him, I am put in a situation where my mind is supposed to begin to think, wait a minute. No matter what happens yesterday and the day before and the day after and then the day before that and then the day after today and then on down in my life, no matter what I face, I always have this one anchor of my soul that I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, and there is nothing that anyone can do about that. No one can take that from me. Guys, listen to me. If you're in Christ, you have a secure eternity. Amen. All right. Yes. He's got something else to say. He says in verse 17, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Friends, do not be surprised when all various types of trials ram into your life. Friends, if you even have the willful desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer. I'm not even talking about you're accomplishing what you desire. I'm just talking about you have a desire to live for Jesus. Suffering will come. Now, let me tell you something that you need to hear. It is the Spirit of God that witnesses, testifies to your spirit that that is true. Let me say that again. It is the Spirit of God that witnesses and testifies to your spirit that suffering is a sure part of the Christian life. I grow sick and weary and tired of these people who claim to be preachers who stand up and say, if you'll become a Christian, it'll get easier. They're not preachers. Preachers use this book. You listen to somebody that you can't find nothing what they say in this book, they're a great speaker, they're not a preacher. If you could see what I could see, you would know that right up here, every time I get the blessing to stand and preach in this pulpit, engraved in letters about 2.5 inches high are the words, preach the word. You know why? Because if I'll preach the word to you, that Spirit will speak to you and give confirmation to His own word. And then when you get hit by a freight train on Sunday evening, it'll hurt, but it won't end you. That's right. It might make you dry, but it won't make you swear off drinking water. No. Now, folks, you're going to suffer. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. And there's a whole host of reasons we're going to get into as we meander our way through the rest of 8. But I just need you to know it's going to happen. But look at I don't want you to, I'm not ready to dwell on that because of what we got coming up. So I'm just giving you a piece of information, okay? Right this minute, I'm handing you the sealed package. Don't open it. We're not ready to deal with this package just yet. But you need to know what's the contents, the ingredients on the package are. If you're going to name Christ as your Lord and Savior, suffering is a guaranteed reality for you for the rest of the days that you walk this earth. Part B of the end of this verse. But this ain't all that there is. Yes, I know. That we may also be glorified together. Church, suffering is short term. Let me say that again, because you need some of y'all feel like you're like, man, it's been long term for me. And I don't doubt that. In this life, there's some of y'all in this room right now, you've been long term suffering. But I want you to know something. It's short term compared to what's about to come for you. Now, this suffering gives way to glory. Y'all weren't excited enough, so I'm going to say it again. This time, fake it if you ain't got it. All right? Suffering is going to give way to glory. All right, that's better-ish. Listen, we know this from Jesus. Jesus talks about in Luke, he says, first suffering, then glory. Christian, here's your model. Your role model for life. His name is Jesus. If Jesus did first suffering, then glory, and you're to model and put your life following him, what's your pattern of life? Say it with me. Suffering, glory. Then glory. Suffering, then glory. Oh, man. Guys, listen. How many times are we going to... it's like driving a race car in downtown Wake Forest. It's too much under the hood to try to keep it 25, okay? But I'm not going to try to bust ahead in this passage because I don't want to do that to you. But let me tell you, when you look into verse 18, he wants to remind us of some important things about our suffering. First off, let me tell you something. Guys, suffering is real. It is painful. It is heartbreaking. It is destructive. It is just everything that you feel in suffering is real. But it's also limited. And there's also something better coming. Let me give you just a... When you're dry, like I am right this minute, a little bit of water on the tongue changes everything, doesn't it? You ever been really thirsty? I'm not talking about like go to the store and get a soda thirsty. I'm talking about like you would punch your grandma in the nose to get the last drop of water out of a cup. It's thirsty, y'all. It's thirsty. I said that was the last joke, and there I go again. Sometimes in that suffering, you need something. But we don't get... Let me put this to you carefully, guys. Sometimes in your suffering, God's decision is to say this. Remember what's coming. Sometimes in your suffering, have you ever been in suffering and you cried out to God, I don't think I can do this anymore. And he goes, and it's over. Ever had that happen? I have literally had that happen. I have been bawling my heart and mind and life out to Christ and saying, God, this got to lift. And then... miraculously, it lifted. And true to being a good model Christian, I was like, whoa. Y'all get that in a minute. All right. So now listen. But there are times, and the longer you walk with Christ, I believe this to be more and more true. There are times, guys, when you're going to step into a season of suffering. And it's going to remain for an extended period of time. And it begins to be heavy. It begins to weary you. I want to tell you something. It can be sickness. One of the godliest men I know has rheumatoid arthritis so bad he can't straighten out his fingers. He suffers, y'all. He came to do some stuff at my house the other day, couldn't do any of it. I ended up having to go home early because he was almost out of energy. Didn't think he could drive all the way back to Greenville. He suffers, guys. Oh, it's terrible. Some of you, you're suffering because there's just about anything in the world you'd give have a seat next to your field. That's heavy. Some of you right this minute, man, I'm going to tell you what. If you had two nickels to rub together, you wouldn't know what to do. You're doing all you can, but there just ain't. There's more month than money, and there's some suffering in that. Some of you, you love a family member that wouldn't speak to you right now if it would save your life. It's suffering. Some of you, you've got somebody right now that's running from the Lord. You love them to death, and they're running so hard, you like, but would you, don't do that. You'll destroy yourself. And they won't hear you, and you're just suffering. And we could go all the rest of our time together. And I wanted to bring those things up. I wanted you to begin to internalize those things for just one moment. Because what you felt as that washed over you needs to be put in the light of verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of what present time? You tell me. Which present time? This one. This one. This suffering. Not Joe's suffering, which is obviously less than mine. Not the suffering from 5 years ago that the Lord's brought me through. But I want to tell you something. This one, right now, that's got me dry. Cotton mouth. Can't hardly breathe. I'm so dry. This one that's right in the middle of the heat wave in the desert, and there's no sign of rain, there's no sign of shade anywhere to be seen. This one is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? Oh, you what you meant to say was in heaven, right? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You meant to stay with the Word of God because the Word of God is truth. Let me tell you something. The suffering you currently experience will one day be unworthy of a conversation piece to be brought up when you're thinking about and talking about the glory given to you when Christ shall return and call you home. It can't be in the conversation. Listen, How many times in your suffering does your suffering come up in your conversation with somebody that cares about you? Think now. It comes up. Why? Because it's a dominator of your thoughts. That pain is real and it hurts and you need to talk about it. And you should, by the way. You should. You get a brother, you get a sister in Christ, and you ought to let some of that out. If you were meant to do this alone, God had saved you and moved you to the jungle somewhere where nobody had to deal with you. Listen, a day is coming when the pain and the hurt and the struggle and the suffering that you feel right now, you will be so overwhelmed by your inheritance as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ that you will never mention it again, because the thought of it seems utterly ridiculous to bring up. Hallelujah. You will say, I'd say something about what I went through when I was 37 years old. It was a season of suffering, and I'd say something about it. But Jesus is standing right there, and it's just not worth bringing up. It's just not worth bringing up. Can you get a little bit of your mind wrapped around that? You can't get all of it because we can't experience it yet. But can you begin to taste the significance and the weight of your current suffering and imagine what will it take that will be so glorious that you will say of this current suffering? Now, I don't want to talk about that right now. Have you seen this? Listen, I was thinking about this just now. And we got a good friend here, good friend of mine, Robert. And Robert's daughter is getting married today, about 4:30 this afternoon. I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a gut-wrenching hard day. Joy for his daughter. But you know he wants his wife there. That's pain, guys. That's suffering. But let me tell you something. There is coming a day where that pain won't come up again.
Hallelujah.
Your losses, your sickness, your suffering. My dad's fingers going to be straight one day.
Yes.
They're not going to curl around like that.
Yes. Yes.
He used to carry 2 cinder blocks in each hand. He can't even stand on a cinder block now.
Hallelujah.
One day, he's going to be restored completely. And he's not going to say, God, I've got a few questions about that arthritis. He might say, God, I thank you for that arthritis, because if it hadn't been for that, I'd have been a long way from you. You gave me what I needed, even though I didn't know it. He might say that, but he won't say why. I guarantee you. Church, it hurts, but it doesn't compare. And that's what I got for you today. Isn't it amazing? You ever give any thought to this? I get the joy of doing what I do about around 49 Sundays a year, roughly. I get the joy of doing what I do. And there have been times, I want to tell you something, that a passage has fallen. And I mean, y'all have known me 11 years now. I hadn't planned anything ever, a day in my life. But let me tell you something. Some things will fall on a day where there's no better passage in all of the Bible to deal with what we're going through.
Yes.
I'm having this day, and this is the answer I get. people say, "Well, do you have any proof that there's a God?" Have a seat. We're going to be a while. Guys, listen. I hope you didn't hear me wrong. I hope you didn't hear me say your suffering is insignificant.
No.
I hope you didn't hear me say it doesn't matter. It's going to be all right. Quit whining. I hope you didn't hear me say any of those things. I hope what you heard me say is that one day, not on this earth, but in the presence of the King, one day, you won't talk about it. And it won't be that you won't talk about it because it hurts too much. It'll be because of what you're looking at. And what has happened to you. The change in you. In the presence of your King. Will forever change how you look at everything. Forever.
Yes.
Let's pray.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you're good. And God, I thank you that as I pray to you right now, I have an advocate at your right hand, sitting on the throne with you. And Lord, he knows what it's like to walk here. He knows what it is like to suffer, to have pain, to be hurt, to be cut deeply. He knows what it is like to know all of these things, yet he did it without sin. And now, when I cry to you, your Spirit speaks within me, and he advocates on our behalf, and he says that we belong to him. He knows our struggles. He knows our pains. Father, I thank you that you loved us enough that you sent your Son to be our Savior, to be our advocate, to be our Lord. And Heavenly Father, I know that we need, more than anything else right now, these believers in this room, they need a reminder that for all that this earth is and all the struggles with sin and their sin and other people's sin and the way they're hurt and all that's going on, God, there's so much that could be happening and so much hurt and sickness and death and pain all around this room. But Father, thank you for your word that reminds us, because we belong to you as adopted children, there is a future for us where this will no longer be conversation worthy. Because of what you'll have done in us and what we will see in you and in your presence, and as we see your Son one day. Oh God, there's not a believer in this room whose heart does not groan within themselves to see your Son right now. But Lord, I pray, because I also believe that there are some lost people here in this room, God, people who don't have your Son. And Lord, for all that I have spoken, God, the truth is, this is as good as it's ever going to get for them, and I pray that you would awaken their heart to that horror and that reality and let them be saved and rescued from an eternity separated from you instead of with you. As we continue with our heads bowed, I want to ask you something. Are you in here right now? And do those words of Paul, "The glory to come will make the suffering of now just seem like nothing, not even worth talking about," does that actually give you chills? Because that makes you realize that what you're experiencing right now is the absolute best it'll ever get for you. You don't want that. You want Christ. You want to be called a child of God. If you're here this morning and you say, "By faith, I want to become a child of God. Preacher, will you tell me how? Look at me. Look at me right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Lift your hand up, because I might miss you." Is there anybody here who would say, "That's me, preacher, this morning. I want to become a child of God"? All right. Christians, I know it's hard. I know it hurts. I know it's dry. I know it's heavy. I know it's just difficult. But can you take another step if I remind you that you have a heavenly inheritance? Could you take another step if I remind you that God is your inheritance? Could you take another step if I remind you that all that you are is bound up in who you are in Christ and not who you are in you? Could you take another step if I remind you that whatever you feel right now, there is coming a day in the presence of God when He has changed you forever, that this will no longer be worth bringing up? Can you move another step forward? You know what? Maybe you want to talk to the Lord about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you just a minute here. You are welcome to use the altar. You are welcome to pray in your seat. You're welcome to grab the hand of your neighbor and say, "You might not know me that well, but I'm dealing with something heavy. Will you help me to pray?" You might know somebody in this room dealing with something heavy, and you might say, "I'm just going to get up and go pray with them. I know they could need it." Guys, the day is coming. Right now, you need to be strength for each other, encouragement for each other. Listen, right now, all around this room is people hurting, people praying. Would you consider just getting right up? Go to somebody right now. Listen, let me spur you on. Let me, Christian, let me poke you from the comfort of your red cushioned seat. How about move right now? Find somebody in this room that needs a word of prayer prayed over them. Somebody in this room needs some love and some reminder of what God's going to do. How about you youth? Could you guys think of anybody in amongst yourselves that might need a little bit of prayer, of encouragement? How about move to them?